Top Headlines.
Nussbaum gets there first. Threw it over to the near side. Backus powers his way around to check back of the net. Now Heinen centered. Fired. They score!
Oh, yeah!
Dan Heinen back of the net. Von David Krejci in the slot. He goes shelf over the glove hand right under the bar. 3-2 Bruins.
Angry or happy, he's something. The Bees came back from a 2-goal third period deficit to win in Edmonton last night, 3-2. Nola Chari, Matt Grzelcyk, and David Krejci each with a goal. Bruins remain 1 point behind the Lightning in the Atlantic Division with 2 games in hand. Bruins back on the ice Saturday night in Toronto. J.D. Martinez is in Florida in the Red Sox facility to take a physical as the final step, making his 5-year deal official. According to Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston, the opt-out of year 2 in Martinez's contract was a tipping point in the negotiations and was not a part of the talks until late. Also, according to a Drellick source, Martinez has been told he will indeed get some outfield time. Julian Edelman posted a video on Twitter showing him running with a resistance band alongside a trainer as he recovers from ACL surgery. In other NFL news, the Dolphins have franchise wide receiver Jarvis Landry. If Landry signs the tag, he'll make $16.2 million. Andrew Luck is not throwing a football yet, but according to Ian Rappaport, he is throwing weighted balls, heavier than football, so there's that. Luck says the ship has sailed regarding a second shoulder surgery. Celtics set to be back at practice today. Brad Stevens will join Zoe and the Beetle today at 12:50. The first game back from the break, the All-Star breaks on Friday in Detroit against the Pistons. And finally, Lindsey Vonn took the bronze medal Wednesday in Pyeongchang in her final Olympic downhill, and the U.S. men's hockey team lost in a shootout last night to the Czech Republic, ending their Olympics. Bruins draft pick Ryan Donato led Team USA with 5 goals. Headlines are brought to you by the Injury Law Center. If you're injured, you need a team of trial attorneys who are dedicated to injury cases. Set up a free consultation at injury-law-center.com. I'm Nick Gattles. Next headline's coming up at 11:30.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app today.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Listen live.
I don't buy this for a second.
Podcasts, tweets, and more.
Love it.
Available in the App Store and Google Play.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Number two, Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Nick Cattles in for Hardy today. Jason Mastrodonato had this in the Herald. Hanley Ramirez expects to hit and play and most importantly win. Says Hanley wasn't going to pout his way into a corner in the Red Sox locker room just because the club signed a more potent hitter to take his spot as the full-time designated hitter. Can we stop right there with that lead? Do we know that J.D. Martinez is a more potent hitter than Hanley Ramirez when Hanley Ramirez is fully healthy?
That's the way they're posing it, man. I'm telling you, putting a lot of pressure on this guy.
Listen, when Hanley is healthy and feeling good,
Hanley's your best hitter in the lineup.
That guy's deadly.
He's your best hitter in the lineup. Closest thing to a Manny Ramirez-type hitter that you currently have in the modern day. Yep,
so
he's right.
I'd ease up on those kind of blanket statements because, yes, Hanley has struggled at times. Hanley has had
hurt.
Bad streaks at times. But in terms of pure hitter, guy's nasty, if healthy, if he's locked in, if he's focused, all of those things.
A lot of ifs, but yeah
I agree but I'm
you.
Just saying.
Right.
In terms of capability and ability that might be there, you know, he's got it. And he says, and as the next David Ortiz, again, framing J.D. Martinez as the next David Ortiz. I've got some issues with this to begin with, but let's get to the facts here. Ramirez's quotes on the move saying it's pretty good. It's a good bat, at least 40 homers. We're trying to win this. He said we're trying to win this bleep. Dropped an S-bomb there.
See, he dropped in at least 40 right there with him.
Yeah.
See, that's what they're expecting, man.
He said, we're just going to get better and win it. It don't matter. It's not about us. It's about the team and the Red Sox. It don't matter. 40's
the jump-off number. I'm telling you.
It's like the magic number.
Yep. That's the excitement here. Power hitter. Big stick. Middle of your lineup.
I wonder if people would be...
He's already hit fourth.
You think people would be disappointed if he had 35?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It depends how he hits them and what's the record and what's the team look like.
He might hit a lot of rockets off
the
wall.
And what type of pitches is he getting? You know what I mean? Is he being protected or is he not? There's some of that that goes in with it.
Alex Cora said, since the Martinez signing had not yet been made official, he wouldn't talk specifically about that yesterday and wouldn't get too much into it. But talking about Hanley, he said, as of now, Hanley Ramirez will hit third.
As of now.
He said he will hit third. Hanley hits third. That means Hanley's in the lineup.
That means you're playing. Yeah.
That means Hanley's playing.
Yes.
And the more I think about this, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but Hanley needs to force their hand. If Hanley's hitting well, Hanley will play.
Yes.
Over Mitch Moreland. Who gives a crap about Mitch Moreland?
Nobody.
In that scenario.
And who gives a crap about, you know, the a lot of people are worried about the contract vesting. Well, if you tell me that he is completely locked in, he isn't Ramirez. If he's completely locked in and he is the Hanley Ramirez that we think he could be, if he reaches that ceiling, then he deserves to get that contract vested.
We were talking about those plate appearances. It's almost like they're poking him to get it going.
Yeah.
It's a little quick kick in the ass, right?
Yeah.
Well, I just think that there's this assumption that Hanley, who struggled against lefties mightily last year, he's going to sit against lefties. Not if he's hitting, he's not.
Right.
If he's
right.
hitting, you will play him against some lefties.
Yeah.
He's going to dictate the terms. If Ramirez is performing at the level he can perform at, he's going to dictate the terms to the Red Sox. They will have to play him. You're not going to sit a guy down who's raking because you're worried about 490 ABs. It's not going to happen. If he's raking, he stays in.
Yes, and it will totally be within his power whether or not he's playing because he will force them to not sit him down and favor Mitch Moreland. They're not going to do that. If he's playing well, he's hitting well, he will be in the lineup. And I think that they would like for that all to happen for him.
I agree with Joe.
They would like all that to be true.
Just don't expect to be in the free agent market next year.
What do you mean?
Pardon me?
You're not going to be able to get Harper or Machado if Hanley's contract vests.
Correct.
Right.
Most likely.
Not necessarily, though. I wouldn't rule that out.
Yeah, who do they deal? Do they deal someone else like a JBJ? Where are they with Mookie? I mean, there's a lot of...
This isn't about Hanley this year. This is about Hanley performing because he has one more $20 million contract to get and then next year being a dog again.
I get that, but so you tell me what the right thing to do is. What do? Do you sit the guy when he's raking? You have no choice.
Now you're windows now, man.
I mean, you can't sit there and say, oh, he's only hitting really well because it's a contract year. You can say that, but what are you going to do? You going to sit him down?
Nah, the threat of his
I don't care
lineup,
about why
can't.
He's... Yeah,
can't
I don't
take him out of lineup.
I'm fine again, with him not being in the market next year for any of those guys. I hate Machado, first of all, for what happened last year. I don't want that guy on my team. And I don't want Harper, whatever. I don't think Harper's really coming here anyway. So I'm fine with it, but there's a lot of people out there that are banking on one of those two next offseason.
There's a lot of chance. There's a lot of talk, too. And they think he's going to Chicago. Think he's going to be a Cub. Harper.
I mean, the risk is this.
Chicago's banking on it.
A lot of people didn't want... A number of people didn't want them to sign Martinez because of next year. Well, what happens? Okay, you reset the luxury tax last year. That made the fan base bad because you weren't spending as much money. If you walked into this offseason and didn't spend the money to get Martinez, people would be even more mad. And imagine if you swing and miss next offseason on one of those guys. Now it's a complete fail. Now you blew up any chance. You blew up your 2 or 3 year window with this current roster because you were hoping, praying, and crossing your fingers that you were going to land one of the big fish next offseason. You can't do that. You got to do right by the team and right by the business and field the best team possible. It's cliche, but it's true. You can't worry about what might happen 2 or 3 years down the road. Nothing is guaranteed. If Ramirez rakes, then he rakes, he plays. You can't sit there and say, well, he might be hitting this well because it's his contract. Yeah, you know what? Maybe it is extra motivation. Maybe that's why he is hitting better. But what are you going to do? What are your options? You going to sit him down? You got to play him.
Best yeah, you've got play. No choice. If he's playing well and he's hitting well, you play him.
And I agree with Zoe. I think this is a little pat in the ass by Cora to Ramirez. Hey, you're going to be our three hitter. You're going to be in there. You're our guy. Little motivation. Yep. Little
and
kick in the pants.
For whatever reason, it's early too. And it's like Cora's got his way. And this is what he thinks. And he's going to put it out there and let these guys know it. Let them take a grip of it early in spring training here so that there's not any hesitation at the end of the month to where, okay, we're going to change this in the lineup and. You know, it's just, hey, you know you're one, you know you're two, you know you're three, you know this guy's obviously four now, so here we go.
I like that. Hey. You know, it seems to me
you
like...
Know where you stand.
We know how Farrell was, and I don't want to make this season all about comparing the manager
well,
last year
be.
And this year. I know, but I think it's a landslide because Farrell's terrible.
Team, though, when you got the same team, yeah.
But what was one of the things that Farrell struggled with was communicating with the guys
yep.
in how he handled the lineup. Remember, you know, JBJ's hit streak, and he moves him, and that was
Bogarts.
That was a mess.
Bogarts, yep.
So I do like the idea of Cora coming out and saying, hey, Betts, Benintendi, Ramirez is my top three right now. That's I think he's going to do a much better job communicating with the players what he expects from them and where they're going to be. And I think that will bring a level of comfort. Does it mean they're going to be great? No, I don't know if they're going to turn it around and look a little bit better than they did last year, especially Betts, but I think it will be communicated to them better than last season, boy, which is at least a step forward.
It's amazing. And you look at, okay, Ross, lineup starting to already get set, and you go back 2-3 years ago when it's Bogarts, and you thought, boy, the potential of this guy and what he could be at the top of your order, and this is a guy that's just been dropped. It's his own doing. I mean,
yeah, you know? I mean, they have to find a way to motivate him. And maybe it's a lot of people say, you know, he had both hands injured last year. Well, let's see. If he goes out there and he's hitting, you know, 340, 330 in the first month of the season, he has something to prove, chip on the shoulder.
Thought from Jim Louth in our pre-show chain.
Oh.
There we go.
Here's a follow-up thought. I want to read it directly as it was written. Follow-up thought from Jim Louth on Hanley being pegged as the number three hitter by manager Alex Cora. He wrote, "The more I think of it, it's a brilliant move by Cora. He appeared to be giving confidence to a guy that by all accounts is an emotional roller coaster in Hanley. At the same time, he's giving a little jab to Bogarts, who I think Cora really wants in that spot ideally. He's going to make Xander earn it. He knows he needs to put up numbers to get paid. I expect Xander Bogarts to be a better player with his manager being Alex Cora." I don't know that I'm willing to go this far, though, to say that, like, Alex Cora is making these mastermind moves, like the ultimate motivator, where he's got, like, his thoughts and his tentacles reaching into every corner and crevice of the roster, figuring out how to completely bring it all together. Yes. If he is, he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
And if Bogarts can't hit and they're changing things, they're telling him to attack first pitches and this is what it is and slot or whatever you want to talk about with him, if he can't get it going this year, that's depressing because of the future that this guy had.
And that's one part of signing Martinez, I think, right? Theoretically, it takes the pressure off of some of these guys. Now Betts,
it puts a lot of pressure on Martinez,
you know? Yeah. Oh. Now Betts doesn't feel like he has to hit 30 home runs. Now Betts can be a leadoff guy and not have to worry about being a middle-of-the-lineup guy. Now you're not asking him to hit 30 home runs and be that kind of hitter. He can do what he's comfortable doing. And Bogart's same thing. So signing Martinez puts a lot of pressure on Martinez, but it takes a lot of pressure off of a number of guys that need to turn around.
617-779-0985.
We can't have bad takes.
Can't have bad takes. Cannot have bad takes. We continue with your calls on pace of play. J.D. Martinez to the Red Sox. We also have some football thoughts with another Patriot speaking out about what was going on the week of the Super Bowl with Malcolm Butler. We'll tell you the latest on that front coming up next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Branch has spoken.
No. He's still alive, though? He's still alive? Did you see him down at Foxborough at all?
I saw him a lot at certain places.
Some at the mall a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of shopping, huh?
Alan Branch was on our competitor across the way here. He said, "I don't know. I didn't know anything, honestly."
It's a big get.
He said, On our team, gossip doesn't travel. A game plan wouldn't be considered gossip, would it?
I don't know.
Like Devin McCourty said, no, everybody on the defense knew.
Who said it? Alan Brandt said that gossip doesn't really travel?
Yeah.
Oh, that's coming from the guy that told Ben Volen at the mall he's not going to be active? That guy? Same guy? Number 97? Check it out. Super Bowl week. Told Ben Volen at the mall, I'm not active.
Yeah.
He didn't dress like the whole last month. Just done.
Jim, what was the last time you heard about Alan Branch on anything? I think we were sitting on
the media shuttle, yep, waiting to go to the Super Bowl.
At the Mall of America.
It was about noontime central, or no, 1 o'clock central, roughly.
Yep.
And Zach Cox from Nesson tweeted that just saw Alan Branch at Panda Express in the mall.
Yep.
Nice.
Apparently he won't be playing tonight.
Yep, apparently not.
He was crushing Panda Express.
On game day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder why he was inactive all the time.
Clearly not, because he retired without telling anybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good spot.
Yeah, he signed a contract extension, and he relaxed.
He had checked out. He checked out on the year.
11th year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're going to listen to this jackass on what was going on with Malcolm Butler the week of the game.
He's the last guy. He's the last guy I listened to.
Please. Alan Branch. We're really supposed to believe Alan Branch knew. It's not gossip, Alan. It's not gossip if it was talked about, like Devin McCourty said it was.
That members of the defense. Will be back next year for the Patriots?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Are you sure?
Do you think he was intently watching practice that week? Do you think he was all in?
No.
He was all into the game plan when he wasn't going to play?
He knew he wasn't going to play, but he didn't play in the AFC Championship game.
People thought he was healthy.
They just didn't want to play
people
him.
People thought it was a mythical thing that he was fighting health and he's close to getting back. No, not really. Not really.
He got manhandled early in the season when he played. Manhandled.
It sucks because
he could have made a difference.
Pretty damn good for you last year.
Yep.
He was your force in the middle last year.
Yep.
Like, he got it. It clicked for him. And he changed some games. He did. He really did.
Won a ring, got an extension.
Yep. And then got happy.
Yeah.
Some guys get content. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you lose the desire or the urge. And it happens.
Yeah, I would tend
to. After getting a two-year, $12 million deal.
Oh, man.
You know, I would tend to not take anything too seriously from a guy who was inactive for the entire year.
You had to cut checks to that guy for $6 million.
Imagine that. Imagine writing that check.
There was a lot of
That's a kick in the nuts.
I think he had a lot of those like incentive game day active.
I hope so.
Type of things.
Yeah. He didn't earn them.
Think about that, and think about the condition and the injuries that you've had up front. And how you were dependent upon guys like Adam Butler, Dietrich-wise. You had to go out and you had to acquire James Harrison at the end of the year.
You had to play Lawrence Guy a lot more snaps than you probably wanted to at the beginning
of
the year.
The Eric Lees of the world.
Eric
company.
Lee.
You know, you tried to make trades for Marsh. Cassius Marsh. And forget that he played games here this year.
He just got money from San Francisco.
Yep.
Cassius Marsh.
Yep.
Do you know that the cap figures of Dwayne Allen and Alan Branch were both top 10 on the Patriots in 2017?
Yep.
That is brutal.
At least Allen was out there blocking every once in a while. At least you know what I mean? At least he did
something. At least he was there.
Dwayne Allen, not Alan Branch.
Yeah. At least he could get in the huddle.
Dwayne Allen.
No, to your point. At least he could get in the huddle, and he figured out a way to block from mid-year on.
It was about like the middle of the year when Branch came out and said he didn't know why he wasn't playing, right? I mean, everybody watching the game when he was out there could tell you why he wasn't playing. Again, he was getting steamrolled.
Yeah, manhandled.
He's like, 380 pounds. He was just getting pushed around like nothing, like a paperweight.
And then expressed back in October that he was upset. Upset about not playing.
Yeah, play me more. Well, you might want to play good when you get your chance. You know, you might want to actually do something.
Here's another thing too: when you're up front, you're a front seven guy. You give two rats ass who's behind you in the secondary,
and only that
or understand rotations or anything like that. You're more worried about what's the shade, what's the front, what's the rotation. Am I looking at Matt? Are we big now? Are we going athletic? Is it third down? Is it second down? Is it first down guy? You have no clue who's in the secondary behind you.
He said it's not my pay grade to make those decisions. That was his comment back in October. Everybody wants to play. It's upsetting. And at the same time, it's not my pay grade to make those decisions.
Yeah, it's upsetting. You know
team
what?
Team guy. Good team guy.
You know what was upsetting?
So we were in Mexico when he was doing the fundraiser back and hanging out on field. Doing
yes.
A couple, yeah, I think, I thought,
wait, was it?
I thought that's about where things started to turn for him.
Every time I watched him play this season, I was upset. That was what was upsetting. His lack of ability and effort was upsetting to me. He shouldn't have been upset at anyone but himself. Look in the mirror. Play a little harder. A little bit of effort. Make a play every once in a while. Maybe you'll get your ass back out there.
Inactive on game day.
Yeah.
For the Super Bowl, AFC Championship game.
He's the source, though, Beetle. He's the source.
He did make million. I don't know exactly what he made in terms of, I don't know if he made his weight bonuses or any of that, but he made millions of dollars playing for the Patriots this year.
I'd button things up and just stay quiet.
No, I really feel like we need to hear more from Alan Branch. What would have, you know, what game plan would he roll out in the Super Bowl? Please tell me. Elaborate, Alan.
I don't think you could pick a bigger outsider on the defensive side of the ball to have commentary regarding who's in, who's not.
And he calls it, it's just gossip. It's gossip. Gossip. At this point.
Tell me what you would do, Alan, please. Tell me, please. Enlighten all of us. Enlighten all of us to your excellent football mind and what you would have done on Super Bowl Sunday differently. Joke.
Ridiculous.
How many packets of the soy sauce you think you got? You get soy and then you go...
You think he uses packets?
Tell you what, I love the dipping sauce.
He probably asked for one of those squeeze bottles, right? Fill up one of those squeeze bottles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Probably did the three, you probably get, he probably went up to like the $9.99 one where you get the three sides, you know, and the two main course. Oh, that's a big plate. It's a good one.
Yeah, he should have broke down his Panda Express meal Super Bowl Sunday. He knew more about that than Malcolm Butler, I would bet you.
Yep.
Tell us what you ate at Panda Express. Come on, give us your breakdown of the meal, Alan. How was it? How was the sodium? Too heavy?
MSG.
Just right?
Yeah.
MSG?
Yeah, a lot of that.
Throw your Panda Express meal into the shredder. Let us know all the statistics. Let us know how it went down, please.
That is just, I don't know. I put no stock in those comments
from
that
not.
Particular player. None. That's like the last guy you would ask what was going on with the team.
Like you said, Beetle, yesterday, you know, McCourty says something, you pay attention to it. It's McCourty.
Of course.
Branch?
Your reputation matters. Yeah. We took calls the week of the game for people being like, yeah, you think Branch gets back in there this week? And we laughed him off the air. We're like, no, he's not going to play.
Better chance of Louth getting in the game.
4 weeks ago.
There's no shot he gets
into the
game.
We didn't news 4 weeks prior that there's no chance he's going to play. Any of the games come up.
No shot. No.
Healthy.
Oh. Hey, what do you think of guys who put the senior on their jersey or junior on their jersey or like the third, like James Louth the third on their jersey?
It's a bit much.
I think it's stupid.
Well, then I think you're going to think that, you know what? the latest idea for jerseys is pretty dumb then.
You know what it is? It's the ones that never had it on in high school or college, but then they change it because all of a sudden you become senior. You know, now all of
a sudden,
you're
going to have a child to become a senior.
Yeah, it's going to be a senior.
Good point, B. Yeah. Good point.
Typically not.
Good point.
Your last name. It's your last name. Just put your last name up there. It's a big freaking deal. That's why I like Penn State. Nothing on the back. Just
no names. You like no names, period.
I love the Penn State uniform.
It's about the name in the front, Beetle, not the name in the back.
James
right?
Louth they is say? Irate about this latest idea that a player wants to put something on his jersey.
You serious?
The NFL,
Louth's
the
upset, huh?
The NFL is giving this player the thumbs up on this idea.
What the hell? This isn't like he hate me, or right?
That's more of a title than it is anything else.
He hate me? Hmm.
Get to that coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins beat the Oilers last night in Edmonton. They were down 2-0 going into the third period. Then they scored 3 unanswered goals to walk away with the W. Bruins are 1 point behind the Lightning, 3 points ahead of Toronto atop the Atlantic Division. Of course, games in hand on both teams. Bruins back on the ice Saturday night in Toronto. J.D. Martinez in Florida today getting his physical with the Sox to make that 5-year deal official. According to Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston, the opt-out of year 2 in Martinez's contract was a tipping point in the negotiations and was not a part of the talks until late. Also, according to a Drellick source, Martinez has been told he will indeed get some outfield time. Julian Edelman posted a video on Twitter of his recovery from ACL surgery. In the video, Edelman is shown running with a resistance band. I'm sure it's a TB12 resistance band, again alongside a trainer. In other NFL news, the Dolphins franchised Jarvis Landry. He is now set to make $16.2 million if he signs the tag after making under $1 million last year. Finally, Celtics set to be back at practice today in Waltham as they get ready for the post-All-Star break finish to the regular season. Brad Stevens will join Beetle and Zoe in about an hour and 20 minutes. Their first game back from the break, by the way, Friday in Detroit against the Pistons. Headlines brought to you by Live Nation. Jimmy Buffett, Fenway Park with Huey Lewis and the News, August 9th.
And Shut up.
Yeah, Huey Lewis and the News and
walking
Buffett.
Walking on a thin line?
Yeah.
Wow.
You had a great story about Huey Lewis, didn't you? Chris Berman or something like that?
Joe Montana's favorite band.
Joe Montana's favorite band. Amex cardholders get tickets now through Thursday at 10 p.m. RedSox.com/Jimmy Buffett. And the Cattle's next headlines coming up about a half hour.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
we'll get to that story about adding a new title to a jersey. But first, we got to go to the phones with Oscar in New Hampshire. Hi, Oscar.
How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
So I just want to comment that, you know, I'm a self-employed individual that works in construction, and I believe in unions. And I believe that if maybe that their football league had actual contracts that actually mean something, then maybe, just maybe, the players would play a little bit better. And the thing about Butler, I'd like to say, I think everybody on the team maybe must have known that he did something wrong. And, you know, for 18 years, we've known by the Belichick way. And everybody knows if you do something wrong, you're not playing. So he might not have actually gone up to him and said, you ain't playing. But I think everybody else might have known because of something like that. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, it's interesting that last part there that, okay, we understand, and I'm not saying Malcolm did something, but say he did.
Mm-hmm.
Then the assumption is, right, we're like, well, we kind of all knew the way the week was going that Malcolm wasn't going to start. And I think everybody's on that same page, right? But, I mean, McCourty comes out and says, hey, I'm there. Nothing happened. Nothing happened that's being talked about. And Malcolm doubled down on it. And Bill also said it's not disciplinary.
It was football. So you guys also, I can remember, let's see, the AFC Championship game.
But, I mean, real quick, back to your point on unions, though. I mean, if Alan Branch's contract was 100% guaranteed, he wouldn't do a damn thing then. What would make him, if he had the guaranteed money, what would make them play harder? I don't understand that.
Well, a little bit of pride, I would have to think. I mean, where's the
look at Sandoval. Man, you know, look at Hanley, who we talk about in and out, roller coaster of emotions. You know, they got guaranteed money.
Well, everybody's not the same,
right?
I mean, other people, you know, everybody has different attitudes, but I mean, in general. When all the other leagues have, guaranteed, or actually maybe just call them, like, you know, real contracts.
Baseball Players Union is the best union in the four sports. Period. Next is basketball, hockey, then football. It's guaranteed money. Unions. I understand your union point. I just don't think that some guys do get, like, fat cats, and you get the guaranteed money. I mean, shoot, 11 years in, I'm a big-bodied guy. I've been in this. Won a Super Bowl, got paid.
I mean,
two
you can
years,
make the case that he, because he had signed his contract and got some
cash up front.
That was like his time to check out. He got that last little payday and was like, "All right, good, I'm done."
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, thanks for the call, Oscar. By the way, okay. Appreciate it.
Yep.
This story.
There it says Jim Loth upset.
A Chiefs offensive lineman
angry. I think he's not.
Lauren Duvernay-Tardif.
Pardon me.
What?
Yeah, he's got a hyphenated last name.
French guy. I played with a guy named Tardif.
You did?
So, which makes me rethink his first name. Do you pronounce it Lauren or Lauren?
Laurent. How about Laurent?
Laurent Tardif.
Laurent. Yeah. Thank you.
Laurent Tardif.
Okay. Well, this individual is finishing up his medical degree this offseason.
Oh.
That's pretty impressive.
Nice.
NFL player who's also going to be a medical doctor wants the back of his jersey to have his last name, Duvernay Tardif, M.D. D. First of all, having his name on there must be difficult to begin with because it's hyphenated. It's really two names. He wants MD at the end of his name on his jersey, much like you could put senior or junior or the third on your jersey. He wants to put MD on his jersey.
Or like dentists that think they're doctors, like Stu.
Was it DDS? Is dentist DDS? Is that what it is?
That's doctor. Dr. Stu.
Now, he's been talking about it for a while.
Paging doctor.
He did a Players Tribune story last year that said he was hoping to become the first NFL player to step on the field with an MD in my back pocket and maybe on the back of my jersey.
Hmm.
So this has been an idea of his for a while.
That's like next level pompousness a little bit, though, right? I mean, senior's one thing, but hey, everybody, I'm a doctor. I want MD on the back of my jersey. So you know I'm not just a professional football player making bank out here. I'm not just a supreme athlete beetle. I'm also very smart. I'm a doctor.
Well, you also...
It's called being a jackass.
Oh!
Thank you! Hey! I was going to go TB, tool bag.
I mean,
one or the other.
I mean,
you don't want to put yourself ahead of the team. I'm just going to slap an MD on the back of my jersey.
Yeah, DB.
I'm a doctor, you're not. How about that?
Dink bag.
Suck on that.
He
tells
the Kansas City Star that he's already started the conversation with the league office, and they say that anything is possible.
Does this open the door for other stuff now?
Yep.
No, it doesn't.
Sure
it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. If show. I have my CPA, I'm going to put CPA in the back of my jersey.
What about the Villanueva guy from the Steelers?
Listen, I get Jay Billis, who played in the NBA. You could get Jay Billis Esquire.
What was he, a colonel, or was he sergeant? What was the Villanueva's guy? What was his title when he went to war?
Oh, yeah, he should have his military title up there.
Thank you. Slap that on.
Okay, it has to be something that is part of your legal title. Like, if you're a doctor, MD is now part of, like, your legal title. The same would be true.
My name to Esquire.
The same would be true of a lawyer or CPA.
CPA.
Yes, you can add those.
My wife's a nurse. You could get, if she ever played professional sports,
RN. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm
Fokker.
There it is.
But now you're saying it puts him ahead of the team? Oh, don't be so ridiculous.
It's just as ridiculous as senior. It's just there. Senior's,
you know,
ridiculous.
No, I think it's more ridiculous.
I'm the Mr. Smart guy. I'm smarter than any the other four cattle are in this huddle to block people.
I see what you did there.
Moo. No, I'm talking about cattle.
A little play on my name there.
I'm a smart lineman.
Well, I think it's worse than senior or junior. I think it's much worse. Like, at least you're having some pride in your name or whatever, and it's your name. To throw MD
senior's
on
Senior's not your name, though. Junior's a name. You don't name somebody senior. Like, my name, legally, is James Louth III.
Oh, I know.
My grandfather's legal name isn't James Louth Sr.
Good point.
I'm with you on that. It's a good point. Good point. Right.
I just think you're
Junior is part of your name. Senior is something you just want to add on.
You have pride in your pride in your last name, right? You know, like you are representing your family,
go
right?
Go open up a medical office. Go be a doctor.
I hate the MD.
So if he's
love it.
So when he becomes a doctor,
I love it.
What is there about to love it?
So like, when he becomes a doctor,
that's cool.
And he wears his little white coat.
Like,
he's got a stethoscope.
It's such a rare thing.
FP football player on air on his little white coat.
It's cool to put in, I don't know. I think it's, hey, world, look at me.
Yes,
I'm a doctor.
Thank you.
I am awesome.
I tackled.
Yeah, no, that is what it is. I'm not going to lie.
Two gigs.
That is what it is. Look at me. I'm a doctor. Yeah. There's pride in that. Right. Is there not pride in having gone to medical school?
Yeah, but he's working his other profession. He's a professional football player as well.
Ryan Fitzpatrick should put Harvard grad on there because he went to Harvard.
Well,
graduated.
No, because that's
what, magna cum laude or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
what did he graduate?
Smart.
He should put his GPA on it.
Little 6-year-old up there, and he was doing times tables. Yeah,
he should actually have his GPA so he could wear like 3.9 as his number with a Harvard.
Smart guy. You're right. It's going to open up the door for other tags.
All sorts of people.
I'm with you, Jim. With you.
I'm going to go to the University of Phoenix and get my CPA just so I can slap that in the back of my jersey.
Go ahead.
Give me online or
go ahead. Go ahead and do it.
Excuse me,
it bothers you that much.
Excuse me, CPA in the house.
I think you should do it.
Get out of my way.
Just do it.
What's the worst, most obscure, easiest thing to obtain? That's what somebody's going to want to obtain, just to slap it on the back of the jersey.
Well, do they have like titles for like when you can marry people? When you can go online
JP,
and become
baby
Justice of the Peace.
Justice of the Peace.
JOP.
But there's something else. There's another title for it. But yeah, you
what
can,
about oh, what about the guys that did that study religion and want to become a reverend? I'd play with guys. Reverend Fryer. Irving Fryer was a reverend.
So it should have been
Reverend Fryer.
Reverend Fryer. There he is.
Hey,
there's
so
Reverend
if you graduate,
Fryer.
Can you get like BA or BS on the back of your jersey?
BS would be great.
Yep.
Fit a lot
that's
of people.
That's not a title. That's just what your degree was.
MBA.
Excuse me.
MD signifies a title.
Hold on. What if you're
medical? See, Jim, separate doctor. Smart from dumb.
What if you got your doctorate? What if you got your what if you were a professor?
This should be like if you can get a special license plate for it, you should be able to put it on your jersey. Like if you're a doctor, you can get the doctor license plate, right?
Yeah.
You could do that on your jersey in the NFL.
Just to remind everybody that's driving behind you that you're a doctor.
Well, there are legitimate reasons for that, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, coming from a guy that, of course, what you went through, I'm sure you would have loved to see a doctor's license plate, right?
Let a doctor get through.
Someone would have said, hey, Bertrand just got his car flipped over 1,000 times.
Put your name Bertrand. CS, crash survivor.
Now you're just being
throw the union letters in there too, like IBEW.
Stupid. You guys are being stupid.
IBEW Local 30.
Those are not medical doctor. You have a right to the legal title.
LLC pipe.
You know what? My grandfather belongs to the Lions Club downtown. LC Junior.
I just love how pissed Jim got about this.
Knights of Columbus, KFC.
He's no longer a team guy because he wants to put that on his jersey. Give me a break. Come on.
Look at me. I don't like anything that's look at me, look at me.
Yeah, it's self-serving. It is self-serving. It's all about him at that point. Like, hey, I'm a doctor. Nobody else on this field is a doctor.
617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls on this. Also, trying to figure out where all these quarterbacks are going to go. What's so funny? What are you laughing at?
Tom said if he does that, the rule is if he gets that on the back of his jersey, he has to attend to players that are down.
I was just thinking the same thing, which is why
maybe
I laughed.
Maybe he could be a concussion spotter on the field.
I swear to God, Tom, I just thought of the same thing. Like, he has to take his helmet off, his pads. He's got to go to work right
away.
You
got another Guerrero thing happening here because you got your team doctors now. All of a sudden, we got a player doctor here, and he's not going to look. He could diagnose himself.
Oh, my God. It's way worse than Alex Guerrero. It's way worse than Alex Guerrero.
It's a flesh wound.
It's actually a doctor on the team.
Yep.
Man,
oh,
man.
Comes in the huddle. You guys all right? Yeah, I think I got a subservient subluxation in my lower level. Not a weight-bearing bone. It's protruding through the metatarsal.
He starts showing up with Laurent Tarif resistance bands. Starts trying to sell him on his team.
French doctor to boot.
Yeah. Yeah, right then.
What does that have to do with anything?
So he hates the French. I think it's pretty clear.
French, huh? What the hell? What does that mean?
Zolak hates French people. There you go.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
Great. All right, then. Trying to figure out where some of the quarterbacks are going to land this offseason and which one lands with the Patriots. We can jump into that as well coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of loving you. A pretty face don't make no pretty eyes.
Doctor, doctor. I see what you did there.
You see him in the huddle? He's got his little temperature boxes here. Let me take a temperature.
Everybody
feeling
okay?
You look right, kid.
Yeah, everything all right, guys?
Look
everybody feeling
face.
Right?
Look at the moon face kid. He's got a concussion. Somebody get him some medical attention.
He's just looking over the shoulder of like the training
imagine.
Staff. No, what
Jim,
I would do here. What
Jim,
you
imagine
do here.
What that guy's baseline is. Huh? You know, they talked about Manning.
Yeah.
Always wanted to test lower because if he did get dinged, he wanted to get back in the game. Mr. Doctor, man, I mean, this guy's the limit.
Picture him at training camp being like, my medical opinion, the heat's too hot. We got to go inside.
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
Guys, we might get heat stroke. Time to move it in.
Right. I don't think I'm going to lift that weight. The thrust that's going to put on my joint and knowing the joints that I studied through medical school.
Imagine Belichick with a guy like that on the team. Like, right, if he was trying to
make him coordinator.
If he's trying to.
First ever coordinator / player.
Get in the way of the medical team? No, I don't think you're doing
that
right, guys.
If he played lacrosse and was a doctor, he'd have a shot.
Oh.
Peter King of the MMQB has put out a prediction on where every quarterback is going to land and
nice.
How all the pieces will fall into place.
Love predictions.
Not agree with him or agree with him, but I think it's a jumping off point to get us going in a conversation.
Right. Denver, he predicts, will land Kirk Cousins because they are in desperate need.
I agree. Totally agree with that. And Cousins is getting paid wherever he goes. I don't know what would ever make him want to go to the Jets to get his head beat in.
The only thing that would want like that would drive him to the Jets is maybe they have the idea of selling him on. We got a ton of cap space, great draft picks, and you could be a really good quarterback here for 7 or 8 years. In Denver, they're getting old. Like you have that one, you might have a 2-year run and then be dealing with a rebuild.
But Denver's a pretty city. You got all the facilities here. We built this thing the right way. We got defense that's going to win now. We got Demaryius Thomas. We got
Emmanuel Sanders.
Manny Sanders. We got some backs. We got a pretty good scheme, and we got a lot of churches here.
They would
the hills in Denver.
They would be wise to spend the money on Kirk Cousins, and I believe they will be in the hunt for Kirk Cousins. He has A.J. McCarron picking Arizona because he has his options of going to Cleveland and risk the Browns drafting a quarterback with a high pick.
Ugh, why would you ever go to Cleveland anyway?
Right, exactly. There's nothing attractive
Cleveland's
about that.
Cesspool.
He says, that situation would risk being in the same spot he was in Cincinnati,
right,
playing behind Andy Dalton. Or he said he can go to Arizona
Make it
and
his.
Be handed the starting job on a team with a playoff defense right out of the gate. He said, that's not a very tough choice in my mind.
Well, you look at the changes in Arizona over the last 2 years, too. That's a team that a lot of people are pegging to have a chance in, you know, the NFC, and you know, they're going to supplant Seattle. They got the cool coach out there. He likes to drink white paint.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
They got to figure it out offensively. Like, the question
Everything's new there. That team could end up 3-12 next year.
Like, was it Carson Palmer, or they're looking at Adrian Peterson? They brought Adrian Peterson in at running back. Fitzgerald's older.
Coming back.
He also says Arizona could go after Sam Bradford and then pick up a rookie to try and develop a quarterback behind Sam Bradford.
I'd rather go McCarron.
I would, too. I'd rather take a shot.
Yeah.
Cleveland, he has going after Darnold or maybe Sam Bradford. He lists two different options there.
Killed there. Yeah.
He says the New York Jets, he's got pegged as Baker Mayfield and Josh McCown. He said they'll bring back McCown, and then they'll go out and draft Baker Mayfield.
So that would
fit. Saying he'd be a great fit with Jeremy Bates.
That would fit their window, too, right? You have McCown for a year. You go, what, 8-8 or whatever, have another kind of middle-of-the-road season, and then...
You know how long McCown's played.
Year three of that rebuild plan. You have
same year as Brady, right?
You know
can he come out the same year?
It's crazy.
Year after?
16, 17 years, yeah. It's nuts.
He says New Orleans will re-sign Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Doesn't see him leaving. He's got Josh Allen as the quarterback for the New York Giants.
Wow.
Why'd he say wow?
I just never picked Allen to be there. Like, I would think they'd be a Rosen Darnold guy.
Well, according to some drafts, you know, you've got Darnold 1, Josh Allen 2.
Yep. I mean, Allen's made the most noise here since the end of the college football year.
How long's the leash for Eli?
It's 2 years.
Really? Yeah. If he starts the year next year and he sucks, you think they'll be able to continue to play, you know, 6-7 games and he's playing below average?
That's a different outlier there. I mean, yeah, I mean, given, okay, hey, this isn't trending well, but if you get in, get good coach, protect him and, you know, keep it simple the way Jets did it with Testaverde at the end of his career, you know, Vinny was very effective. They cut the field in half for him. And I think you get back to being able to run the ball, their defense, man, is where they really invested over the last 2-3 years. But
their offensive line, that guy Flowers at left tackle is crap. Turnstile.
They got issues. They got issues because you got to face Philly.
They need a running back.
Washington's going to be different because, you know, Alex Smith's there now and offense will look different.
Yeah, obviously, yeah,
Dallas should be better.
Philly.
That's going to be a tough division, man.
Minnesota, Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater. Both come back.
Nice.
Yuck and yuck. Yuck fest. Blech. Don't give me Keenum was great this year.
Buffalo.
You know what's ingrained with me? Keenum, him doing that skull thing.
That skull thing was awesome.
Oh, really?
No, I liked it.
Good for you.
I liked it. You didn't like the skull thing with the crowd?
That was awful.
That was a good moment.
He's got Buffalo with Josh.
That was a nice moment.
Josh Rosen.
Good for them.
Rosen to Buffalo, and here's how. He says the musical chairs are getting scarce. This could be a McCarron, Keenum, or Bradford spot, too. But he says if Denver gets Cousins, I could see Elway dealing his one, the fifth overall, to Buffalo for their two first-round picks, 21 and 22, and another high pick this year or next. That would allow Buffalo move up, get a good quarterback prospect like Josh Rosen.
See, I think Buffalo's heading in the right direction.
But they don't have the quarterback.
Yep. That's a big piece, man. That is a big piece.
Yeah, Tyrod's certainly not the answer.
Under that scenario, that means four quarterbacks taking the top six picks of the draft.
Yes. Means there's a run on quarterbacks early in this draft. Peter King also has a prediction on where Lamar Jackson goes and also has a prediction on which quarterback lands with the Patriots through the draft. We'll touch on that after headlines, 90 seconds, no commercials.